We are really doing fine. I want everybody to know that. Things have been much better in the last 24 hours, and things are working well, so I don't want everybody to feel like... This morning, we are going to talk about the book of Jonah, and I'm not going to read the entire book to us, but as I kind of proceed, we are going to read a portion of it. But one thing, it's been actually a couple years ago now, I came across a children's book called The Voice. Has anybody ever heard of this book? Well, good. It's a book called The Voice, and it's written by a guy named R.W. Metlin. And I think that this story, and it's a children's book, I think it really kind of gets at what I want us to understand through the book of Jonah today. That there's this voice, the voice of God that we all encounter, that we all communicate with, we all interact with, that's always coming after us, that's chasing after us, trying to get us to listen, to truly hear what it's telling us, and then ultimately to respond what it is that this voice wants us to do. And sometimes when we hear the voice, or sometimes when we feel God's prompting, all we want to do is turn around and run the opposite direction, to flee from it. And as we know the story of Jonah, we know this is what Jonah tried to do. And you'll find that this is what the character in this story tries to do. But what God really wants us to do is just to stop, to listen, and to go towards the voice, to respond to it, to do what it is it's calling us to do. And so again, this book is called The Voice. It's written by R.W. Metlin. And I actually talked to the author and contacted him and made sure it was okay for me to go ahead and copy the pictures and put them up on the screen because it'll be a lot easier for you to see. He gave us permission to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and read this book to us. "Follow me," said the voice. "Huh?" "Follow me," said the voice. I did not want to listen. "I love you," said the voice. "Huh?" The voice, whoever it was very intrusive. "Go away, I'm fishing." I could feel it watching me. Eventually, I caught a fish. I was feeling very proud of myself. "You're welcome," said the voice. "Leave me alone," I replied. The voice was silent, but it didn't go away. I lay back to take a nap. Then, quite unexpectedly, my boat sprang a leak. I found the hole and plugged it with one of my toes. That voice was putting holes in my boat. I yelled, "Voice, I do not appreciate you." "Stop behaving so badly," said the voice, "and just follow me." "Nana, boo-boo." The voice let out a long sigh. My boat began to leak again. At first, I refused to plug the hole. I thought, I'll show that voice how tough I am. I'll just go ahead and drown. Then I got scared. I didn't really want to drown. It took my whole leg to plug that hole. I could feel the fish tickling my feet in the water below. Stupid fish, I thought. Everybody was picking on me. I wanted to go home, but I couldn't reach my oars. I was stuck. I began to cry. "Follow me," said the voice. "Why won't you leave me alone?" I asked. I was feeling very sorry for myself. "I already told you I love you," said the voice. "Follow me." I can't. If I move, my boat will sink. Let it sink, said the voice. Let it sink, I asked. Don't you care about me? I'll drown. I'll become fish food. I can't swim. You won't have to swim. Just follow me, said the voice. I sat there wondering what to do. This seemed like an awfully dirty trick. How did I know I could trust the voice? There seemed to be no other option. So I pulled my toe out of the first hole. Immediately, water began filling the boat. Better pull your other leg out too, recommended the voice, or the boat will drag you down with it. So I did. The cold water rushed in as the boat sank. I called out, "Help, voice! Help me!" "Open your eyes," said the voice. "Follow me," said the voice. So I did. And that's the end. You know, there are countless religions throughout the world, all sorts of religions that all have these solutions of how we're supposed to live through this life journey and seek after and find God. All these ways to do this, through meditation or through dancing, whatever it may be, these ways for us to go through life and find God. But I think Christianity is unique. And Christianity is unique because our story is the story of a God who we do not have to go and find. Christianity is a story of a God who loves us so much that God is always trying to come after us. God is always trying to pursue us, always trying to come and get us, always trying to come and bring us back to Him. And that's the story from the very beginning of creation in the Old Testament that we see over and over again. From the time we were created, God is continually trying to get us to recognize that God is there. And that we need God, that we want God, that we desire to be in a deeper and deeper relationship with that God. And so our question, our journey through life is always about what is it we're going to do when we encounter this voice, when we find God? How is it that we're going to respond to the voice when we hear it? God does not want us to run from Him. God wants us to get to a point where we acknowledge that God is there and embrace what it is that God wants to do through us. He wants us to listen to Him. And today we're going to look at the story of Jonah where God does not let Jonah get away. The story of Jonah is a story about God pursuing Jonah. No matter where Jonah tries to go, God is chasing him and doing things through Jonah's life, trying to get him to recognize what it is that God wants to do through him. The entire book of Jonah is about this struggle, trying to listen to the voice of God and respond. And Jonah hears the voice several times throughout the book of Jonah. We're going to talk about each of those. But the first time he hears the voice of God, it says that he hears the voice of God. And what the Bible says is that the word of the Lord came to him. And this voice, this word of the Lord came to him. And what does it say? It tells him to go to Nineveh and preach against the Ninevites' wickedness. God wants Jonah to go to them and tell them all the sin that they're living in and that if they continue to live in this sin, then bad things are going to happen. God's going to have to destroy them and teach them a lesson. And I understand that when we read this, and I mentioned this earlier, when we hear about the Lord, the voice of the Lord coming to Jonah, we think that it's this big, loud, booming voice that's speaking to Jonah and that it's abundantly clear that this is God and this is exactly what God wants him to do. And this may be the case. Maybe this is exactly what happened. We don't know how this looked. But what we do know is that throughout the Old Testament, there's this more concrete understanding of God. And so while today, if we're driving down, we're driving home today, and we see a car on the side of the road, we may say, "I felt led to stop and help this person." That's the language that we use. I think in the Old Testament, they would have taken this exact same experience and maybe said, "God spoke to me and said, stop by the side of the road and help this particular person." And so we need to open the door here to allow kind of our limitations on language to understand that maybe Jonah heard an audible voice that told him to do this particular thing. But maybe it was a prompting inside, a prompting of the Holy Spirit, or not necessarily the Holy Spirit, a prompting of God working through him, telling him that this is what he needed to do. And so we need to leave this door open so that we don't sit there and say, man, those Old Testament folk, they had it pretty easy because God was really, really clear to them. He used to just speak to them, and I can't understand why they didn't just do what He said, because today we don't have that luxury. I think God still speaks to us. Anyway, our text says that God spoke to Jonah and that he understood what God wanted him to do. But instead of doing what God wanted him to do, Jonah ran away. He wanted to get away from this voice. He ignored it. And it says that instead of going to Nineveh, where God had asked him to go, Jonah flees towards Tarshish. And I actually have a map here. Joppa is where Jonah's at, okay? Where this all happens, where God speaks to him for the first time. God's asking him to go to Nineveh. You can see where Nineveh's on the map. It's a distance, but not that far away. Where does Jonah decide to go? He decides to get on a boat and go to Tarshish. And remember, we're talking about the ancient world here. I mean, this is what they understood the world to be. I mean, the world, he was literally going to the other side of what they understood the globe to be to escape what it is that God wanted him to do. Some 2,500 plus miles, and you can see it's over there kind of near, it's in Spain or Portugal, kind of in that area. It's a long way. So he didn't just turn his back on what God was asking him to do. He quite literally tried to go clear across the world to avoid where God was sending him to go. And so Jonah goes down to the port. He gets on a boat headed to Tarshish so he can go across the Mediterranean Sea and get away from what God wanted him to do. But we find out that God does not leave him, that God chases him, that God continues to pursue him as he's going across the water. And we know in the next part of this story that God speaks to Jonah through life experiences. And so the first way that God spoke to Jonah, the first way that he heard the voice was through the words. The word of the Lord came to him. Well, the second part of the way that God communicates to Jonah is through life experiences. And so Jonah's on this boat. He's headed to Tarshish, and what do we know? We all know the story pretty well. What do we know what happens to Jonah? Well, all of a sudden there's a big storm. And, you know, they're trying to figure out why the storm's occurring, and they decide that Jonah, he admits that he's disobeyed God, and he ends up overboard, right? And he's in the raging waters of the sea, and everything's going crazy, and the waters are around him. And this is the story that all of us know quite well, is that he cries out to the Lord. And what the text says in chapter 2 is that that Jonah is rescued from the waters by a great fish. A big fish comes along and swallows Jonah. And most of us, as we hear this, we think, when we originally hear the story, as we grow up with it, we think that the worst part of the story is the fact that he gets swallowed by this big fish. He's in this belly of this fish for so long. But the reality, if you really look at this text, this was a good thing. This is one of the good things that happens to Jonah in this story. I mean, Jonah had been thrown into these raging rapids, the water, all the tumult that would come with this storm. And so he's near drowning. I mean, when you see the prayer that he gives in this book, it's about him being rescued from the seaweed and from thinking he's going to drown. And so what God is doing here is saving him from drowning, saving him from this disaster that he's found himself in. And this, it really is a message to us of hope, is that God's communicating to Jonah that despite the fact you've tried to flee from me, despite the fact that you're ignoring what I'm asking you to do, I am there to rescue you. I mean, this is the hope, again, that we need to hear as Christians, because we know that every single day we fall short. And we need this reassurance that when we hear the voice of God and we run away and we're disobedient, we don't respond to it, that we'll get a second chance, that we'll have another opportunity, that God continues to speak with us. God doesn't just try to get us to understand one time, and if we don't listen, then he leaves us alone and we're out of luck. God's always speaking to us, always trying to get us to understand. And so he does this. Jonah is swallowed by this big fish. And actually, part of what Jonah says, and this is part of his prayer, he cries out and says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called out to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. Jonah was grateful to God that God had given him this second chance, and that through the voice, through God, he had been rescued from drowning. And so we move on into chapter 3, and Jonah is spit from the mouth of this fish. He has some time to reflect on what has happened in the belly of the fish. He has some time to process, and he eventually is spit from the mouth of the fish. And our story says once again that God spoke to Jonah. And I'm actually going to go ahead and read to you chapter 3, and it's printed in your bulletins if you want to follow along. But it's chapter 3 of Jonah. It's just 10 verses. But this is where we're at in our story. The second time, and this time again, it says that the voice of God came to Jonah. The voice of the Lord came to Jonah. So starting at chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So Jonah spit from the mouth of the fish, and I think it's funny, you know, if the map's not up there anymore, but if you remember the map, that Joppa was here, Nineveh was fairly close, Tarshish was a long way. We don't know how long he was on the boat, but we know that because of his disobedience, he had a lot longer journey back over to Nineveh because of his disobedience. So I think part of it is, depending on where he was spit out from the fish, he had a lot longer trek back. But this time, when God comes to him and says, go to Nineveh, he thinks, I better listen this time. I'm a little scared of what may happen next, so I'm going to do what it is that God has asked me to do. And he goes back, he goes to the Ninevites, and he shares with them that unless they repent from their sins, unless they change their ways, then God is going to destroy their city. What happens next shocks Jonah. They repent. They turn from their evil ways. The text says that they put on sackcloth, and sackcloth was this very simple garment that, you know, you probably see on Tarzan or something, to basically cover the areas that he didn't want anybody else to see for privacy purposes. But it's this very simple, simple idea that they're giving up all their luxury of fancy clothes. They're simplifying themselves before God and saying, we are sorry for all the things we've done. We repent of this. Please spare us. And so this is what the people do. And sure enough, when God sees their reaction, sees that they're truly repentant, he has mercy on them and spares the city. But this does not make Jonah very happy. I mean, think about what this must have been like for Jonah. He hears the voice of God. God tells him to go to Nineveh. He says, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to deal with that. I want to go to Tarshish. And so he gets on a boat. He tries to go to Tarshish. He gets thrown overboard. He's swallowed by a fish. He finally does what God asks him to do. He goes and preaches to Nineveh. And then God does something that's inconsistent with what he's just told the people in Nineveh that's going to happen to them. I mean, if we know, Jonah was a prophet, okay? So Jonah, his job is to go and share God's word with people, to help them understand what God is communicating. So he's gone to Nineveh, he's told them that they're sinful people, and that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days. Now God has had compassion on them, and they're not going to be destroyed in 40 days. This is not a good image for a prophet. I mean, prophets need what they say to happen. They need it to be consistent. They need for their reputation for what's going to happen. And on top of this, Jonah was not a big fan of the Ninevites to begin with. Nineveh was the capital of the Syrian Empire, which was one of the primary enemies of the Israelites. And so not only was Nineveh in a place where Jonah had his prophecy not come true, but Nineveh was also a place that he already despised, a place that he already disliked. And now God has spared them. And so Jonah is not at all happy with God's demonstration of compassion. But the story, again, is not done here. God still has more than he wants to do with Jonah. And so Jonah is upset. He's pouting over what has happened. And in this book, it says that Jonah goes up and he's sitting, looking over Nineveh. I assume he's pouting. He's feeling very sorry for himself. He's looking at Nineveh, hoping still that it's going to be destroyed. Hoping still that God is going to do what it is that Jonah said that he was going to do to Nineveh. And so it's very, very hot. The text says that the sun is beating down on Jonah, and that God is gracious to him and provides him a tree that provides him shade and protects him from the sun. And then it says the next day that God provides a worm that eats up this tree and kills it and takes away the shade. And again, he's sitting in the sun and the sun's beating down on him. He's feeling sorry for himself. And it says that he wants to die. He feels suicidal because of all this that he's going through. And God scolds Jonah, and he says, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?" And this is the end of the story. I mean, there's no happy ending. There's no, oh, Jonah obeyed God and everything's happy and now he's a faithful person and God's going to bless him the rest of his life. There's none of that in the story of Jonah. You leave with Jonah sitting there being scolded by God, probably still pouting, overlooking Nineveh. God leaves him with a question, leaves him with a voice prompting him to change his understanding, to change how he's acting. And I believe this story of Jonah is indicative of our own spiritual journeys. That we're on this journey to hear the voice of God, to respond to it, and to do what it is that God is prompting us to do. And God used a huge storm. He used a large fish to get Jonah's attention. And I think every single day of our lives, God is using various things, various encounters that we come across to talk to us, to reveal his voice to us. And our question we must ask is, how are we responding? Are we hearing it? And if we're hearing it, are we understanding what it is that it's prompting us to do and then doing it? I really think that one of the biggest problems we have in hearing the voice of God is that we're just not good listeners in general. Even in our culture, we're not really good listeners at the people around us. I mean, we have a hard time simply entering into what it is someone's telling us and in getting out of what it is that we're thinking. And so if we're such bad listeners to tangible people standing in front of us, it's even more difficult for us to hear the voice of God who's not right before us, who we can't even see. I think there are three principles. I have three principles and three cautions that I want us to understand about how God communicates to us that I think are both very clear in the children's book that we read at the very beginning and very clear in this story of Jonah. And so we're just going to go through these. The first one is that I think we can trust the voice of God. I think because Jesus Christ, because the God of the universe created us, he knows exactly what we need, exactly what we're made of, exactly what our substance is. And if there's anyone we can trust to understand what it is that we must do for our life, we can trust this voice. One of the scariest experiences of my childhood, and my mom's here today and she can testify to this, was when I was a young kid taking swimming lessons. I used to take the swimming lessons at a local YMCA, and one of the things, and you probably have this common experience that they would always do, is they'd walk us to the edge of the diving board, and they'd have us stand at the edge of the diving board, and the instructor would be down in the water below us telling us to jump. And I remember thinking, that is the... I mean, it's not that far down there, but it's a scary thing for a kid to have to do, to stand at the edge of that diving board. And sometimes they would shove us off. But I don't necessarily... For some reason, I don't remember that as a scarred memory. So that's a good thing. But I remember standing at the edge of the diving board, and what I had to do is simply trust. I did not know. I did not know for sure when I jumped off that the instructor would catch me. I knew the instructor. I'd had several lessons with her. I simply had to trust when I stepped off that diving board that she was going to be there to catch me, to be there to keep my head above water so I wouldn't drown. And I think there's a part of our relationship with God that we, when we're standing at that edge, knowing that God is there, that we just have to trust. Based upon what we know about God in the Bible, based upon what we've seen God do in the lives of other people, we simply have to trust that when we step off, God is going to be there to catch us. We have to trust the voice of God and that it's in our best interest. In Jonah's case, the voice knew what was best for Jonah. God had something that Jonah needed to learn. I mean, if we really look at this story closely, we find that Jonah was very, very receptive, right, to God's compassion for him. Jonah had gone the opposite direction all the way across the world to avoid the voice of God. He'd been thrown into the water. He was about to drown. He was worried about seaweed around his neck. And God rescued him, saved him by having this fish swallow him. And Jonah spends an entire chapter in this book praying and thanking God for rescuing him, thanking God for his mercy and compassion. What happens just a little while later is that Jonah is ticked off at God because God showed mercy to the 100,000 people in Nineveh. Jonah loves compassion. He loves mercy when it's for him. But Jonah is having a really, really difficult time when God is giving compassion and mercy to Jonah's enemies, to the Ninevites. This is the lesson that God is trying to teach Jonah in this case. And he emphasizes it again when he gets up on the side of the mountain or wherever he was sitting overlooking Nineveh. And God provides him with shade and God takes that away. He's helping Jonah to understand that Jonah is not the center of the world, that God's love and compassion is extended to all things, and that God provides and God takes away. And so God, the voice of God, is communicating to Jonah. The second thing that I think we need to understand about the voice is that the voice will be intrusive. And this is the hard part for us to understand about the voice of God. I started off this sermon by saying that the unique thing about what we believe about God, the unique thing about what we believe as Christians, is that our God is coming after us. Our God is seeking us, trying to always bring us back to Him. And that means that God will be intrusive. Those areas of our life that no one else has ever seen, those areas of sin that we've never talked to anybody about, those are the areas, I guarantee it, that the voice of God is going to start with. That God is going to point out to us. And that nagging sense in our heart, that pull at our tears, whatever it may be, that is the voice of God saying, you need to deal with this, because this is the roadblock between my relationship with you. This voice will come after us. God knows our gifts, He knows our shortcomings, and He will expose them. I sometimes think that the Bible, all our Bible should come with a giant warning label on them that said, warning. If you enter into this Christian journey, if you enter into this relationship with me, I am coming after you. You're going to have to deal with vulnerability. You're going to have to deal with transparency. And this is not going to be easy. I always think of, and many of you have heard this, but I always think of in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the beavers are having a conversation and they're talking about Aslan, the lion. And Lucy is asking about Aslan to the beavers. And she asks whether the lion is safe. And the beaver, Mr. Beaver, responds to her, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. And I think this is the truth about the... And C.S. Lewis writes this in very theologically sounding. He has a wonderful way of helping us to understand this. But the voice is not always safe, but the voice is always good. And we have to trust that the voice is always good. Think about how intrusive the voice was in Jonah's situation. No matter how hard Jonah tried to get away, no matter how far he tried to run away, the voice kept coming after him and pursuing him. And I can imagine Jonah as he's fleeing, that he responds like the character in the children's story responded, and he would just scream, leave me alone. And I know that I've had times in my life where I'm just at the end, and I was just like, God, leave me alone. Get away. I can't deal with this anymore. But God will keep there. Keep pursuing us. This is the nature of God's voice. The third principle we need to learn about the voice is that the voice will not run from us. The voice is going to be there as a constant presence. I've seen on church billboards this saying that says, if you are feeling far from God, you are the one who has moved. God doesn't move. If we're feeling far from God, God is still there. It's because we've gone away from God. God is a constant present. He's always with us, always trying to talk with us. And I really believe that if we can't hear God, the first thing we probably need to do is take our hands off our ears. That we're inhibiting our own ability to hear the voice of God. The United Church of Christ denomination, and maybe you've seen these ads, has a national ad campaign, and it says that God is still speaking. And they have these on billboards, and it's this idea that God still speaks the way that God did in the Old Testament and throughout the New Testament, throughout the Bible. God is still speaking in that way to us today. We simply have a hard time hearing. And now I promised you that I was going to give us a few cautions about the voice. And so the first caution I want to give us is that the voice of God is not intended to make us feel guilty. I think sometimes when we hear the voice of God, all we hear is God telling us, you're wrong there, you're wrong there, you're wrong there. And it feels like, you know, we're entering into this stage where there's nothing we can do but realize how sinful we are. The voice of God points out our sin to us, not for us to sit in that sin and not move. God wants us to understand our sin because God wants us to get beyond it. And God knows that unless we see that sin, we'll never know how to get beyond it. And so God points out this sin so that we can get to the point where we can move on in our journeys and deepen our relationship with Him. I mean, it's the same way with our human relationships. When there's some sort of stumbling block in my relationship with anybody that I may have, we have a relationship and maybe that person has lied to me, and so that's kind of the elephant that's sitting in the room every time we have some sort of communication. Unless we address that, we can never get to a point where we can deepen our relationship. And so God's goal is not to make us feel guilty, but get to a point where we can move beyond what it is that's holding us up. The second caution I want to give you is that the voice will not always lead us down the easy path. The way God wants us to lead, the way that God wants to lead us is not always the easy path. It can be difficult for us. It can be a challenge. And sometimes God is going to lead us down difficult paths. But it's through those difficult paths that we're refined. A few weeks ago, or maybe it's been months ago now, we talked about the fact that this Christian life for us can be hard and it can be full of pain and suffering, but that God is present in those situations to refine us, to help build us up, to build up our strength, to help us to follow Him. Change is hard for all of us, and acting according to the will of someone else is always difficult for us. My aunt was telling a story about my brother who was a particularly strong-willed kid. And so he, when they would go to the mall or something, if they said, okay, we're walking this way to go to the mall, immediately he would walk the other direction no matter what, just to show them that he was independent and didn't want to go that direction. And so they used to always have to say, okay, we're going this way, to get him to go this way, and then they would walk he would start going this way, and they'd walk the other direction, so they would get him to go the direction they wanted him to go. And I think sometimes that's what we do. That's what we do with God, is that God is just pushing us and pushing us to change, but we just turn around and go the opposite direction. God wants us to trust Him, and God wants us to understand that though it's not easy, He's always present with us. The last thing that I want to share with us is that, and I think this is probably the most important, is that not all the voices we hear are the voice of God. It'd be a mistake for us to think that everything that goes through our head or everything that we feel is God telling us or prompting us to do something. So if this is the case, how is it that we know what we're hearing or what we think is the voice of God is truly the voice of God? Well, there's a couple things I think we can do. The first is that if what we think is the voice of God is ever inconsistent with the Bible, then it's not the voice of God. And so the very first thing we can do is study how God has communicated to people like Jonah. Study how God has communicated to people throughout the Bible so that we can better recognize what it is that God is trying to say to us. The second thing is community. Riverside Covenant Church. This is why we come together as a community. We discern and understand what the Scriptures say together, and we should discern and understand what God is telling us through community, through close friends, through other Christians that are praying for us. And then the final thing that will help us to understand when we hear the voice of God is simply to increase in our spiritual disciplines, to grow closer to God. I mean, as we grow closer to someone, we better understand what it is that they think, what it is that they feel, better understand how it is that they communicate. It's the same way with God. The closer we get to God, the more we pray, the better relationship that we develop with God, the better able we'll be able to recognize His voice when He speaks to us. Each of us are on a journey, and I really believe this. Each of us are on a journey through life, and God is always trying to bring us back. God is communicating to us. The voice of God is telling us what it is that God desires of us, what it is that God wants from us, and the voice of God is affirming us and encouraging us. Listening to it and truly hearing it is what God wants for us. He wants us to be guided by this voice. So our question that should follow us wherever we go is, where is God speaking to us? And when we find this voice of God, how are we hearing it? How are we listening to it? And most of all, how are we responding to it? Where is the voice of God leading us this morning? Will we trust this voice? And when the voice of God calls out to us and says, "Follow me," will we then seek to follow Him? Let's pray. Lord, it's difficult for us to follow You so many times. It's difficult for us to know that You're speaking to us, and it's more difficult for us to really hear Your voice and do what it is that You're asking of us. Lord, help us to have the confidence to trust You, to trust in Your goodness, and Lord, help us to quiet our hearts and quiet our minds enough to hear You speak. And everything we pray in Your name. Amen.